Vox Quick Hits.
When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, things are moving in the right direction. There are more shots going into more arms faster every day. There should be enough vaccines for every adult in America by May. But navigating the vaccine system is still pretty tricky. One wrinkle? There are multiple vaccine options on the table. Pfizer and Moderna require two shots and have a 95% efficacy rate. Johnson & Johnson only requires one shot, but its efficacy rate is a little bit lower. Vox's Dylan Scott is here to talk about what's going on with the different COVID vaccines and whether there's finally a light at the end of the pandemic tunnel. So should I say no to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and just hold out for Pfizer and Moderna?
No, Emily, I would not advise that, though I'm not a medical doctor. I would borrow the words of the Mississippi State Health Director, whose press conference I was listening to yesterday. And he said the best vaccine to take is the one that you can get. And the truth of the matter is, you know, when you schedule an appointment and show up, you're not going to really have a choice about which vaccine you get anyway. I would not obsess too much about what vaccine you're getting because all of these vaccines are quite good and are going to provide you a serious level of protection.
What do we know about vaccine efficacy? They're all more effective than the flu vaccine, yes?
Yes, they are. And I think that's some important context for people. You know, one thing that nobody could help here is that Pfizer and Moderna came out of the gate with this 95% efficacy rate, which is something that we ordinarily would never hope or dream to see in the real world. And I worry that it's set this kind of unrealistic expectation for people about what a normal level of efficacy for a vaccine actually is. So I think there's a couple of things that are important to keep in mind here. One is a little more in the weeds and kind of wonky, but I think it's important. And that's that comparing the efficacy of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is actually a little bit like comparing apples to oranges, because the pandemic was just in a very different state. The spread of the variants was in a very different situation when the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were being tested versus when the Johnson & Johnson vaccines were being tested. So that context in which the clinical trials for these vaccines were conducted was actually quite different. And so I think, you know, scientists would actually say, like, comparing the efficacy rates between these vaccines is actually pretty hard, which is one good reason not to get too caught up on the specific numbers. Another thing that I think is important to keep in mind is that all of these vaccines, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, even AstraZeneca, which has not yet been approved in the United States, all of them effectively eliminate the risk of serious illness and, you know, ending up in a dangerous situation. The other thing that I think is important to keep in mind is, yes, like, these are more effective than the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine, it varies every year because every year scientists have to try to match, you know, they have to kind of guess what they think the dominant strains of flu are going to be every year and engineer the vaccine to protect against those. And sometimes they do a good job and sometimes they don't. But even when they do a good job, the efficacy for the annual flu vaccine is usually like 40%, 60%, somewhere in that range. And so Johnson & Johnson, with their 66% efficacy, are doing even better than the flu vaccine that, you know, the media and public health experts are begging people to get every year. So when you take all of those things together, I don't think people should be hung up too much on which vaccine they're going to get, because all of these vaccines are going to protect you against serious illness and most likely against any kind of illness at all.
Yeah. As somebody who's like pretty far at the back of the line, I just want anyone at this point, anyone, any day.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you want to think about one big logistical advantage to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, like, the baseline kind of regimen for Johnson & Johnson is one dose and you're done. And like, I've looked at the research literature about how good people are at doing follow-up appointments for multi-dose vaccines, and we're not very good at it, as it turns out. So if you want to just kind of get the most bang for your buck, which was the way that this Mississippi health official put it yesterday, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine might actually be better than Pfizer and Moderna, because you're getting a very high level of protection after just one shot.
I do think that sometimes when we talk about the vaccines, we obviously think about ourselves not getting sick. But the point is bigger than that, right? Like, especially if we want to get out of this.
Right, exactly. The way to protect all of us and provide the maximum amount of protection is to get as many people with some level of immunity as possible. And so that's where, you know, encouraging people to go ahead and get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, even if it doesn't provide quite the same level of effectiveness against mild illness, is still the better sort of population level public health strategy. I was reading some reports last week that, you know, it's hard for Pfizer and Moderna to increase their supply. Like, they're using a technology for their vaccines that had never existed and never been used before. So, like, there's not a bunch of factories sitting all over the country that are ready to produce the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. So we've got Johnson & Johnson coming on board. They just to deal with Merck to increase production even more. So at this point, I think the public health perspective is definitely flood the zone with as many vaccines as possible. You know, don't worry too much about some of the differences in efficacy. And we're just trying to build up herd immunity as fast as we can so that in the long run, we have as few, you know, serious illnesses and certainly deaths as possible.
So my last question to you is, like, what do you say to someone who's looking at the vaccines now and is still just not sure about getting vaccinated at all? I know that vaccine hesitancy has declined, but it still exists. Like, what do you say to someone who's like, I'm still not sure about this?
Well, you know, I understand. This vaccine's been developed very quickly. I know back in the fall, there was a lot of concerns about political influence on the vaccine approval process. But I think it's important to remember, like, that influence was by and large rebuffed. You know, all of the leading public health experts seem to feel very confident in these vaccines. They have gone through rigorous clinical trials that test not only for efficacy, but general safety. I think it's important to be transparent with people. You know, we know already that especially after the second dose of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, you know, there are some people who do experience side effects and might have to stay home from work for a day or something like that. And I think people should be prepared for that. But, like, you know, the work of herd immunity is something that all of us are going to do together. And as long as there are people who are out there who don't have any level of protection, and certainly as long as these more infectious variants continue to spread and become more dominant, there's going to continue to be the risk that people get sick and develop, you know, even serious illness or end up in the hospital, which is what none of us wants. And so the way to end that is going to be for people to get vaccinated, on top of the fact that we have, you know, 50 million people or maybe more who have already gotten the virus and developed some kind of natural immunity. So I think we have to appeal to both people's sense of altruism. You know, you're doing your part by getting the vaccine, to remind them that the science that's been done has been really rigorous. And at this point, you know, we've given shots to 50 million people. And, like, yes, some people have had side effects. But I think we know quite clearly at this point that, like, these are clinically safe vaccines, and you can feel confident in them given the level of vaccinations that we've already done. And I think that helps to explain why we do seem to see the numbers shift. Like, fewer and fewer people are saying that they're going to wait and see about the vaccines, and all of that seems to be those people shifting into saying, I'm ready to get the vaccine as soon as possible. And so I have to think that comes from people, you know, they see their mom and their dad or their coworker or whomever get the vaccine, they end up fine, and now they can be confident that they have a strong level of protection.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you in, like, pandemic optimism?
I am trying to, like, gussy myself up to being optimistic. Like, I think I'm reaching closer to, like, 7-8 range. Especially when I talk to epidemiologists, they're always hesitant. You know, nobody wants to spike the football. But, like, it really does seem like we're in the final stage here.
Yay, this made me feel better.
No, good. My mission accomplished then.
I want to feel better about the pandemic as, like, yeah, slowly but surely more people get vaccinated. And even though I'm not there yet, I will be someday. Well, thanks for talking to me, Dylan. This made me feel more optimistic.
Good. I'm glad. Thanks for having me, Emily.
Dylan Scott is a senior correspondent covering healthcare at Vox, and you can find him on Twitter at Dylan L. Scott. He also is the author of the newsletter VoxCare. You can find more stories from Vox in the Vox Quick Hits feed wherever you get your podcasts.